is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Jonathan Schanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, who does a briefing Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or as often as they can press him into service for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, is here to help me catch up on the fleeting headlines in all directions. The major story right now is the food for Gazans, who are cut off and without adequate supplies, we're told. And the security of Gaza is no better, we're told. And the truck convoys are inadequate, we're told. The airdrops inadequate, leading to some deaths, we're told. And now the presentation by the United States, and it would require Israel cooperation, so I'm sure it's on board, to build a floating dock off of the Gaza Strip to provide up to 2 million meals per day to Gaza in a war zone. Jonathan, a very good evening to you. You and I have both been to Gaza. This is a beautiful Mediterranean beach south of Tel Aviv. The rolling sand dunes and then the constructions. Gaza City, most notably, Khan Yunis or other concrete constructions, and then the tunnels, which are the war fighting. My understanding of the presentation is that it will take some days, some weeks, to create a floating dock off of the rolling ocean coming in, the waves coming in. They're not big waves, but they do come in with the wind, and transport food to the beach and then distribute. Well, that's as far as I go, Jonathan. Please take me. What happens when it gets to the beach? Because we have a headline now from London that Hamas is threatening any Gazan who touches that food. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yeah, this is an idea that was floated on the day of the State of the Union address last week on Thursday, and we've been hearing about it ever since. It appears that the U.S. is set to deploy 1,000 servicemen and that they will construct this pier off the coast of Gaza. It will take about a month. And then once that is ready, then the food would be distributed. We are, of course, hearing that Hamas wants to control this entirely, but they do not control the Gaza Strip. What we're actually hearing right now, there was a fascinating report on Israel's Channel 14 the other night suggesting that there are now some armed groups that are stepping into the void and that they are the ones who have vowed to distribute the aid equitably to the people of Gaza and to make sure that the food is not diverted and that the other assistance is not diverted. This message that Hamas has delivered appears to be a direct challenge to these groups. We are now looking at the potential for a clash between groups that truly do seem committed to the people of Gaza versus the Iran-backed Hamas, which has been really not committed at all to the Gaza people. So it's a very interesting development indeed. We'll have to see exactly how much gets to Gaza, but we understand that the U.S. is prepared to provide quite a lot, as are the Emiratis, Europeans, and others. So there is, I think, the prospect of quite a bit of aid set to come into Gaza over the weeks and months ahead.
There are analogies, and the one I go to is the Lend-Lease program of the Second War, where Roosevelt had no mandate to get involved in the European war ongoing since September 1939. And yet Great Britain was beleaguered, starving, in fact, without weapons after Dunkirk, but without much food for its population. And the need for security in the North Atlantic to get cargo through so that Roosevelt and the administration and the Congress found a way. It was called the Lend-Lease Act and other ways of resupplying Britain. That's the analogy I have, but we know what happened. They came under attack, and soon the U.S. was in the war. Is that an analogy that applies here?
Look, I think there is an interesting analogy that could play out, which is, of course, that the U.S. could be targeted by whether it's Hezbollah, whether it's Hamas, or Shia militias, or independent actors, lone wolves, you name it. I mean, the 1,000 servicemen that will apparently be involved in the construction of this pier, to me, they seem like targets. I also would just note that, you know, the U.S. or whoever else is involved in the distribution of this aid or even the provision of this aid, they're going to need to be really careful about not getting Israeli blood on their hands. Because if they're not adequately screening everything that goes in, there is a distinct possibility that the dual-use items or weapons themselves will be hidden among the aid. This is, of course, what regional countries have been doing now for years as they've sent assistance to Gaza. A lot of it has been diverted to Hamas and used for nefarious purposes. So the U.S., I think, risks, A, putting its members of the military in the line of fire, and then they also risk facilitating terrorism. And neither one of these things are being talked about specifically right now, but I suspect that it will become a topic of conversation sooner rather than later, and hopefully not because of attacks that happened against our troops or against Israelis.
Since the State of the Union, there's been increasing tension reported in headlines and reports out of London, is where I watch. It's not exactly unbiased, but it is in between the two worlds, between Jerusalem and Washington, and in particular between President Biden and Prime Minister Netanyahu. To what end? Where are they going with this, Jonathan? Because right now they're trading barbs that I never imagined would happen.
It's been a weird week, John. I mean, I don't know how to explain it other than that. And this definitely veers away from my expertise, which is about tracking, you know, the state of play in Gaza and the battles that are taking place between Israel and various Iran-backed groups. The president has decided, I think, rather openly to make Israel an election issue, to make Israel's war in Gaza an election issue, to make the people of Gaza an election issue. I think we saw it begin to come into focus as the president was appealing to Michigan voters. But I think there seems to be a broader strategy at play here with, I think, the idea that the base of the Democratic Party, certainly the progressives, perhaps some others as well, simply don't support Israel's war against Hamas, and that they are looking to tie the hands of the Israelis. What we know, though, is that the president was fully in support of Israel 5 months ago in the immediate aftermath of 10/7. He was the first president to actually visit Israel during wartime. He provided military advisors. He's been providing weapons to the Israelis to enable them to defeat Hamas in 80 to 90% of the Gaza Strip. Now that we've reached an election cycle here and that we're fully underway, the president appears to be getting cold feet. He's leaking intelligence assessments, which, of course, we know all to be true anyway, that Benjamin Netanyahu's tenure as prime minister is threatened as a result of the intelligence failure stemming from 10/7. But it's very weird to see the United States leaking this kind of information. There have been statements issued by both the president and now the vice president where they're trying to draw a distinction between Netanyahu and the people of Israel. This is the sort of rhetoric that we actually deploy when we talk about Iran, that we see the regime as being very distinct from the people of Iran, who we understand to be very pro-America and pro-West. So it's a very strange time to watch the United States really begin to attack the leadership of a democratic ally. It is certainly not something that I would have guessed we'd see 5 months ago. And now, by the way, we're even seeing talk of the Biden administration conditioning assistance to Israel based on their performance in the humanitarian realm. All of this is just strange stuff, strange days indeed.
The information I'm reading, testimony by people who were family members or people who are participating in the IDF, so much of it is reservists. There was no hesitation on the 7th or the immediate days afterwards to get into the fight, and nothing's changed since then. This is an Israel I don't have personal experience with because I was always after the war, after the fighting when I was there. We're not looking at dissent in the population. We're not looking at people saying, well, I don't know about the prime minister saying we're going to attack Rafah. We're looking at the other thing, which is complete support for a maximal position to wipe out Hamas. Is that a story that Washington is listening to in your measure, Jonathan?
No, I think it is lost on this administration. I think it's lost on the American public. And I think that is the direct result of truly poor media coverage, by and large, right? Where I think that so much of what we see in our media right now is not about the day-to-day of the battles. it is it's primarily opinion that we've been watching play out on our airwaves. And I think that it's doing a disservice. I think there's a certain amount of echo chamber that we're watching here in the U.S. media space. But yeah, when you watch Israeli television, as I do several hours a day, there is zero doubt in anyone's mind that this war needs to be completed with the utter destruction of Hamas, including Rafah. I think there is patience to perhaps wait out a battle until after Ramadan because of fears that you could begin to see spillover during this month into places like the West Bank or into Jerusalem or even Arab Israeli towns in Israel. So there is some patience there. But the end result of going into Rafah and finishing off Hamas, there is no doubt there whatsoever. And by the way, I would even note that the Israeli public appears ready for a second war if there needs to be one in the north with Hezbollah. There seems to be no flinching right now. That in fact, some are viewing this as almost an opportunity, not that it was ever welcome. But now that the Israeli public is mobilized and now that they can see what happens if they don't deal with the terrorist organizations on their border, the general sense is that it is time to clean out these border threats, all of them, so that Israel doesn't need to do it again. And I think this is nearly unanimous in Israel. And Israel, as you know, John, is a place where you put two Israelis in a room, you typically get 10 opinions. This is not what's happening now in Israel. And I think it's lost on this administration and the American public.
We're going to the War of the North because there's news in these last hours about barrages fired by Hezbollah. Jonathan Schanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or as often as they can convince Jonathan, he does a briefing at 8:30 a.m. I highly recommend you can catch it on YouTube if you're not there live. We're going to the north of Israel and the threat of Hezbollah and its Iranian backers. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Donahue.